The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello, Bill.
Hello, Aaron. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bill.
Okay, now that we got that out of the way.
Hello, Aaron.
I feel so much better.
Hello, all you people out there in Radio Land.
Oh, yeah. My ears bleed.
Oh, well, sorry.
Turn my headphones down.
Turn yours down.
Yikes. Okay.
So I'm not in charge of the board.
I know you can't touch any buttons from Radio Land. I can touch a few.
I can holler, though.
I feel better already. So let's see. We've been gone. We've been gone playing. We played a redo last week, and we've been all over the place. So
I know you've been absent-minded.
I have been. So yeah. We should catch people up. Let's see. Next week we're talking about the Philadelphia VA whistleblower update, and there's some fun stuff on there. There's some not so fun stuff in that they're getting punished for things that, what the heck, right? They should get punished for the right stuff. But anyway, we're going to talk to Kristen Rule, and she's got a few other folks lined up for us in Philadelphia, and we'll be finding out what's going on at the Philly VA. So you'll enjoy that next week. Week after that, we're talking about fire. We're surrounded by fire here at the moment, so probably good we're not talking about fire today because everybody's busy fighting fire. But we have Ray Halp on with us, supervisor from Siskiyou County, who will, he worked for the Forest Service for 30 years. Now he's a county supervisor, and he has a good handle on how the Forest Service fire thing works, how the, you know, state fire agency here, it's CAL FIRE, and what the differences are. And that's kind of the same in a lot of states. Most states have two different fire services. So most of us think, well, why don't we just make one? So he's going to explain to us why or why not that idea would work.
Well, there's plenty of fire to go around.
And there is plenty of fire go around, unfortunately. So let's see. We got that out of the way. You can reach us online at 5... I'm looking at a phone number.
530.
Yeah, 530-605-4567 is the call-in number. I might as well finish that thought while I'm on it. And you can reach us always at wethepeopleradio.us. Our phone numbers, emails, all that good stuff is there. And if you have ideas for programs, we love them. And, you know, just ideas, topics, or people. We're good either way. How are we doing, Bob? Have we straightened out our phone tangle?
Yes, both. Guests are ready to go.
Nice. So now Bill tells me he can't hear. Oh. Is that better?
No, that's okay. Better.
So
I can't hear myself think.
And the poor people on the phone are like, is it too late for me to pretend the line dropped? Yeah. So we have Terry Rourke on with us, and I have a little bio of hers. I think I'd like her to tell us a bunch of it, but she's a native Californian and a surviving parent of a child who was injured by a DPT vaccine as an infant in 1973. So for all those of you who think that the vaccine issue became an issue last year, Terry's been working on this for a very, very long time. And she's a longtime volunteer with both the National Vaccine Information Center and parentalrights.org. She's been educating parents about the dangers of vaccines for several decades, strong advocate for informed consent, vaccine choice, and parental rights to make medical decisions for their children. And so, Terry, are you in there, and can you hear us okay and all that?
Good morning, Erin. Yes, I can hear you fine. How about me?
Perfect. Since the first time I called you, I think we were on the phone for like an hour or something.
We had a lot to talk about. We probably could have talked all day.
Yes, obviously there's a tremendous amount in this particular topic. And so for people who either are new to this topic or want more information and how to get connected or where to find information, go to the website. I've posted all the things Terry has sent me, and that is wethepeopleradio.us. And then on the other line, hoping that they can hear each other, we have Catherine Duran, who was on with us about Common Core here, I don't know, a month ago or so. July 5th, actually, I posted that show on here. And she was working on Common Core, and I'm not sure really where the vaccine switchover came, but she's also become an activist in the vaccine issue, and I think largely because of the California State Bill number 277 that passed, what's it been, ladies, 2 weeks, 3 weeks recently? Anyone? Hello? Hey, are you guys in there?
Uh-oh.
This is Terry. I'm still here. I can't hear Catherine, though.
Yeah, I can't either. Huh. So Catherine's in the cone of silence, so we'll have to try to get her out of there. All right, Terry, so can you catch us up a little bit? Like, back in the 70s, did anybody care about this?
People did care, but it was, we had a smaller population. Children received very few vaccines in the 70s. The schedule only had three doses of polio and three doses of DPT between the ages of 2 and 6 months. And then they had one more vaccine, one dose of MMR. And that was the entire childhood schedule in the 70s.
Oh, maybe so that's why I don't remember getting that many.
The childhood schedule has escalated. And children are presently receiving 49 doses of 16 vaccines by the time they reach school age. And the problem here is that the pharmaceutical lobbyists have just pushed through a bill in the state of California, SB 277, that requires every child to receive every vaccine or they will be denied their constitutional rights to a public or private education. And many families cannot homeschool, so that means that many children will become truant. But the problem here is that the state has decided, through our politicians, they know more than parents about the well-being of their children. And at this point, it's an all-out war for parental and religious freedom, as well as honoring the Nuremberg Code and the international human rights laws of informed consent prior to medical intervention. And we just lost that in the state of California. We have 18 million children in danger of because their parents no longer have the right to protect them. And that, to me, is a very big slip down the slippery slope. And my concern is if this bill does not get repealed through the referendum effort, that not only will children be at risk, but the next target is the adult market. This is all about money. It's not about public health. It never has been. Most people don't know that.
Well, I think it's positively frightening that the state can mandate sticking a needle in your kid's arm and injecting them with something. I don't even think they know what's in it.
No, they don't. And even when you receive informed consent, they give you what's called the vaccine information sheet, which is a cartoonish single sheet of paper that basically promotes all of the false benefits of vaccination. Parents are not given the full vaccine package prescribing information from the manufacturer. Now, if you go to the pharmacy and you pick up a prescription, the pharmacist is required by law to review the full prescribing information, and you have to actually sign that you have reviewed this information and that you understand the risks. This does not happen with vaccination, quote-unquote, informed consent. And this is wrong. It's completely wrong. The FDA doesn't even require vaccine manufacturers to list their proprietary ingredients, which is code language for secret, or
sure,
the ingredients that are considered generally regarded as safe. They're called GRAS ingredients. Ingredients like peanut protein from peanut oil that's used in one of the adjuvants in many vaccines is not listed.
Yeah, except peanut oil makes me die, so that's great.
But it's not safe when it's injected and peanut protein enters the blood without going through the normal digestive process.
What kind of vaccines have the peanut protein in them?
You know, I would have to look on my computer, and right now I'm in downtown Walnut Creek because I have a group of folks out here that are volunteering to get signatures on the referendum, and I'm not at my computer, so I don't have that information.
I was just curious if is it grown.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
There are several of them that have that adjuvant in there, along with heavy metal, formaldehyde, known neurotoxins. There's one ingredient, one adjuvant called, the nickname is Poly-80, which is never been tested for infertility and sterility properties. As a matter of fact, none of the vaccines are tested for carcinogenic, mutagenic, or infertility properties. So we really don't know because the studies have not been done.
And are these for adults as well as children?
Yes.
So, like, when you're talking about your flu vaccine and all that, same lack of testing, peanuts. I know the flu vaccine on the CDC website says that a bunch of them contain formaldehyde.
Oh, yeah, formaldehyde's in a lot of vaccines. So, you know, why anybody would want to inject formaldehyde into their body is beyond me. The problem is people go along with it because they don't know. Most people have a tendency to simply do whatever the doctor recommends. It's hard for them to comprehend that their doctor is not really very well educated on vaccines. It's not something that's discussed in med school. It's a very short module, and the curriculum consists of how to administer them and how and when to administer them, not really anything about safety studies or clinical trials or any of the nuts and bolts.
Lovely.
I was reading on the CDC website the ingredients of the vaccines, and I find it hard to believe that mercury, which is used as a, they said like a disinfectant, to stop mm-hmm. contamination when they actually stick the needle in the vial. Is that really the best thing they can use to stop contamination? I mean, if you put a little bit of mercury in your body from anything else, I mean, if you have a product that has mercury in it, they shut you down, lock you up. But boy, the CDC can put it in a vaccine? That seems kind of strange to me.
Well, and I agree with you. The problem with vaccines is that the manufacturers have immunity from all liability. In 1986, the Childhood Vaccine Safety Act was passed. Shortly thereafter, the CDC schedule for children just about doubled because the manufacturers enjoy no liability. Really, the only immunity in the entire vaccine program are the manufacturers cannot be sued for the damages that they and deaths that their products cause. So putting mercury in it, putting aluminum in it, you know, these heavy metals are known neurotoxins. They don't belong in our vaccines. They don't belong being injected into an entire generation of children. We have the sickest generation of children since the beginning of mankind. And in the U.S., we have a horrid infant mortality rate. We're one of the worst infant mortality rates in all of the industrialized countries throughout the world. We also, just so happens, we have more vaccines on our schedule than any other country. So if vaccines are so great and people are healthy because of all of the vaccines they get, why do we have so many kids sick and dying?
Now, prior to the Vaccine Act you were mentioning, prior to that, were there heavy metals in the vaccines then?
Yes, there were.
Okay. So they passed mm-hmm. this act to just relieve themselves of any responsibility.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Well, when people bring that up, I mean, when people ask about that, what do they tell them? It's just a small amount? Or, I mean, how do they explain that?
When it comes to the mercury, it's extremely deceptive because when the laws in California and other states in, throughout the country were required to remove mercury from vaccines, they only were required to remove them from the ones that are mandated. They were never required to remove them from all the vaccines that are recommended.
Mm.
The CDC has a recommended schedule for the entire country, and then each state has a list of vaccines that are required or mandated for public school entrance.
How long is that list?
The California list is, I think, 10 diseases right now. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry that I was called out of the office, but I don't have my computer in front of me to flip through all my data. Right now, I believe it's 10 different diseases that are required in California. But in SB 277, there's line number 11. And line number 11 allows the state of California to add any vaccines that they want pretty much at will if they're already on the CDC recommended schedule or if one of the other governmental authorities approves a particular vaccine, it can be added.
Lovely.
Now, let me back up about the mercury because I wanted to clarify the trace amount.
Let us take a quick break here, and we're getting kind of behind on the break thing. We're going to have them all at one time because we do want to go through the mercury because it's listed in the thing as thimerosal a lot of times, and people don't know. So we're going to come back, and we'd like you to talk about the mercury. You are listening to We the People Radio. We are speaking with Terry Rourke at the moment about vaccines. And at this point, we're talking about the California law, but it's coming to a state near you. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them? When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stopped. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
So
love that song.
Yeah. So what about flu vaccines? Is there mercury in flu vaccine?
Oh. Ruh-roh.
Ask again.
Okay. Now we're there.
We're back. You can join us online at wethepeopleradio.us.
Hit it, Bill. Question. Is there, in the flu vaccine, is there mercury in the flu vaccine? Or trimerosal or whatever they want to call it?
Yes, there is definitely mercury in the flu vaccine.
And there are a whole bunch of different flu vaccines. So is that just one of them, or is it in all of them?
I would have to reference back to all of the different package inserts. But the flu vaccine is a total guessing game. They really never know for sure what they're doing. It's a best guess scenario. And this year they decided to make sure they had an ample supply. So in order to increase productivity and reduce costs to produce, the current vaccine, one of the current flu vaccine, is being cultured in insect cells. And the problem when you cross species in the production of vaccines, they'll do a song and dance and say, well, it's just in the manufacturing process, it's not in the final product. It's just in the media growth of the particular concoction of flu that they're creating in the lab. And the reality is that you, during the final stages of manufacturing, you can never really get out all of the DNA molecules that were used during the production. So people are being injected with other species' DNA in their vaccines. And most people don't know that. If they did, they wouldn't be lining up at, you know, every Walmart across the country.
Well, and the other one that I'm going to post it right now, the CDC, you know, just in case people think we're just, you know, making this up from some scary website or something. If you search CDC vaccine ingredients, the top two things that pop up on just about any search will give you a PDF that shows vaccine by vaccine what's in them. And that's from, mm-hmm. from the CDC. So, okay, having said that, I was asked by someone to look at an ingredient called WI-38 and another one called MRC-5. And those both told me they were made out of fetal lung tissue from three-month-old white female babies.
That's correct.
What the heck?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I didn't get a lot farther than that. At that point, I, you know...
At that point, you kind of freaked out. I thought that can't be true.
I had to add beer to my research. It's like, what?
So what's
the extent of that? And what's it for?
Yeah,
what does it do?
What are those for? What's MI-38 and MRC-5?
No,
WI-38.
Those are aborted fetal tissue cell lines that are used as a growth media for a variety of vaccines. Why they do it, I really don't know. I could speculate, but I'm not going to speculate. That the facts are clear. They speak for themselves. Many vaccines contain DNA from aborted fetal tissue cell lines. That's the reality. And I don't understand. You know, people ask me, why do they do that? I wish I knew why. If I knew why, I could cope with it. But not, I can't justify that, no matter what the reasoning is or the scientific logic is. It's not okay to inject DNA from other species and other humans into our bodies, contaminating our blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like
that's
a healthy,
fact that gives
thing to
a,
do.
After watching all the Planned Parenthood videos that are, I mean, actually all of them aren't out, but I think we've seen four so far that have come out where they are selling basically baby body parts. Well, here's one market. And I know this has been done since the 60s, so did we get really mad in the 60s and then just kind of go to sleep on it? We meaning the public?
Yeah. I think that we have been lulled into complacency. You know, there's an awful lot of distractions in the media. There's an awful lot of distractions in life. And the media is very good at promoting the propaganda, if you will, that they want the general public to believe. And so we don't get the truth in our mainstream media. We haven't for a long time. Highly qualified investigative journalists like Cheryl Atkinson is a good example. You know, they've left the mainstream media because they cannot do accurate stories. Investigative journalism, you get on a story and you go where it leads you. You don't know the outcome when you start your research. And, you know, mainstream media has a storyline that they have to have approved by their sponsors. The bulk of the advertising in mainstream media is from the pharmaceutical industry.
Now, what about the European market? Do they use the same concoctions over there that we use here, or are they different, and how so?
Yeah, they have fewer vaccines that they approve. They have different formulations that we can't even get in the U.S. because it's not licensed in the U.S.
And do they contain the human DNA in those as well?
Some do, but they have other alternatives that don't. You can get what the Catholic Church calls morally acceptable vaccines in other countries. In our country, they're not licensed by the FDA because Merck doesn't manufacture them. And right now, Merck is really running the show in our vaccine program. Our agencies that were created to protect the general public are actually captive agencies by the very manufacturers who provide the product. They do their own testing. They do their own safety studies. They produce it. They get it blessed by the CDC and the FDA, and then the CDC mandates it into our population while they enjoy complete immunity to all liability. It's a scary scenario.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so, okay, let's cut back to the referendum really quick. You, in California, if you're in California and you're frustrated that they've passed this, and that it was over, I mean, there was really overwhelming opposition from the public. I mean, I only heard about it, but you were, I'm sure, were down there at the Capitol. There were just a ton of people. Uh-oh. That's not a good sign. That's a bad sound right there.
Okay, who's still there?
Hello, anyone? Anyone?
Oh, no. Just
Bueller?
Just knucklehead one and
Bueller?
Knucklehead two. Did we disconnect everyone?
Apparently no one's there.
The vaccine gods are after us.
Lovely. Okay, so while we call those guys
NSA.
Back, hey, look, it's time for a break. Saved by the break. Usually it's the break is hard, but this is
well,
good.
I'm kind of amazed that the European vaccines are different than the American vaccines, and yet you don't hear of massive epidemics over there, and you know, more kids getting sick over there than get sick over here. So obviously there is a alternative.
Well, and for all the people who think that it's because our kids aren't vaccinated, I'm sorry, let's add one more piece into the equation, because if we're going to be good scientists, you have to look at all the factors. So one big factor we had when everybody freaked out about the Disneyland thing, we had massive numbers of children coming illegally over the border.
Right. I was going to bring that up. I mean, none of those kids are vaccinated.
Right.
And they probably never will be, because we don't want to discriminate.
Well, they come from countries that don't have good hygiene. And so once hygiene improved, running water,
yeah.
soap.
They
you
don't know,
know
why they get sick over there. And you know, in some of those
we don't get
third,
a lot
world,
of that stuff.
Third world countries that you know,
doing,
don't
Bob?
Have good drinking water and so forth.
All right. We're going to go
right.
get some decaf. And
I'm going to go re-up my medical degree
Bill's
while we're off.
Yeah,
and,
Bill's all mad. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us. And you'll have to hum a happy tune for yourself, because that's not working.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's been that kind of day.
Oh, wait, I hear it. There's music.
That's me. That's me on my guitar.
You're awesome, Bill.
I know it. Thank you.
Well, I'm a big girl. I can take care of myself. So don't tell me what to do. You've already said that we are through. I may pay that you have.
Go, Terry. Got your theme song all picked out for you.
I like that one.
It's a perfect one. Oh, so we're on with Terry Rourke. We're talking about vaccines today, and I'm adding links as we speak. So if you refresh the page that you're getting through our website at wethepeopleradio.us, things will keep popping up. Hey, Terry, do you know about the congressman who has been communicating with the CDC whistleblower? Are you familiar with that whole thing?
Oh, yes, I sure am. That's Congressman Bill Posey out of Florida. And he's been an advocate of vaccine safety studies and transparency in our government for many, many years. And he's been in contact with a senior scientist, Dr. William Thompson of the CDC, who made a confession last year that he had been forced to falsify studies, and that if they had been allowed to publish their findings from one of their studies, the rest of the world would know that there is a strong correlation between MMR vaccine and autism in boys, especially African-American boys. But his supervisors and those that he reported to required him to falsify the documents. And his conscience finally got to him, and he couldn't stay silent anymore. And he came forward, made a confession, and provided hard copy documents, hard copies of all of his documents to Congressman Posey. And it's my understanding several other people throughout the world as well. So the information is out there, and he spoke on the congressional floor last week and brought forth additional information that had not yet been made public. And so it's kind of an uproar. And the people I know that, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of families who have seriously vaccine-injured children, and their voices are getting louder, sadly, because there's more and more of them.
Yeah.
And we can't keep ignoring this because we're hurting our children.
So what did the CDC whistleblower disclose? What was his smoking gun, if you will?
Well, the smoking gun was that the autism rate of African-American boys who were vaccinated with the MMR under the age of 3, the incident of autism was over 200% increase.
Wow.
Holy cow.
And they've always claimed that vaccines have nothing to do with autism. I'm not saying I believe that, but that's always the thing, is that there's no link, right?
Right.
And so this obviously might show there is a link.
There is a link. The moms know there's a link, because the moms know when they take their child in, a perfectly healthy child, in for a series of vaccines, and they come home and within hours the child is in excruciating pain and arching their back and going into seizures, and then shortly thereafter becomes nonverbal, and shortly thereafter that gets a diagnosis of autism, the moms know exactly what happened.
Because they weren't doing any of this before the vax. Is it at a point? Is there a, I don't know how I want to even ask this, but is it at a consistent point? Like, they can get the vaccines once and they're fine, but if in the second batch they get sick, or is there any rhyme or reason to it?
No, you can never predict which child is going to be injured by which vaccine. It's really Russian roulette when you're doing vaccines with your children. No one can predict who will have an adverse reaction, whether it's one dose, two doses. There's no definitive pattern. Some children die after receiving one vaccine. Some children seem to be doing okay, but then they get a large series and maybe they go to the doctors and get, you know, half a dozen vaccines in one day, and the child is never the same.
And is there any thought given to the fact that it's so much at one time, or is it the vaccine? If they gave each of these things, and I don't know how many there are in total, but if they gave them one at a time, like 6 months apart, would that help? Or is it just, if that's going to react with that kid, it doesn't matter if they give him...
Might not matter.
A dozen.
Yeah.
It might not matter, but it would seem to be more responsible, in my view, and it would, you know, at least be utilizing a precautionary principle so that if a child has an adverse reaction, they know which vaccine caused the problem for that particular child.
Oh, true.
The way it is right now, they're receiving so many at one time, they can't identify which vaccine is the culprit, or if in fact it was the combination that was the culprit. There are no synergistic studies, and there are no individual studies that are long-term. The clinical trials for vaccines does not use the gold standard of a double-blind placebo. Most of the vaccine clinical trials, the placebo is actually one of the adjuvants in the vaccine. So we're not comparing a vaccine to an inert and benign substance. We're comparing the vaccine to a highly toxic, a neurotoxin. They're using, a lot of times, they're using the aluminum adjuvant within the vaccines as the placebo in the clinical trial. Now, I don't think it gets much more absurd than that.
Yeah, that's pretty stupid. We don't, I mean, that wouldn't be considered, well, okay, all of us would have failed science in high school if we would have turned in experiments like that.
Exactly. I was never into biology and science as a kid in school. But, you know, common sense will tell you, if you're going to run a clinical trial, you better do it right when you're going to be injecting this product into every child in the entire country.
And once this is injected into your body, there is no anti-vaccine that'll reverse it and
do over.
Yeah, I mean, once it's in your
no
body,
do-over.
You've got it. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Once it's in the body and it reaches the bloodstream, whatever damage it's going to do, it's going to do. And because of the route of application being an injection, they're all going to cause some damage because these chemicals and these proteins from other species and also other human DNA, along with all these neurotoxins being injected directly into the blood. This is not normal, folks. This is not prevention. This is not health care. This is injecting poisons into our children.
Mm. Yeah. And so you unfortunately learned about this. Were you involved in this before your son was vaccinated, or was it as a result of?
It was as a result of. In the 70s, I did what all my girlfriends were doing. We were loving, responsible young mothers, and we took our babies in for their baby shots. That's just what everybody did. I never questioned it. I didn't do any research. I just went along with the program, blindly doing what I was told to do. And once, you know, I didn't even make the connection early on when my son was first injured. I didn't make the connection to his chronic and severe health problems until years later it finally sunk in that he was not born that way. He was injured by vaccines. And at that point I started, you know, doing some research, but you know, back in the 70s, I didn't even have a computer. It's not like we had Google.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't have anything.
We had the public library.
I had a young child who was critically ill to care for. I didn't have time to go sit in the medical library. But nowadays, the moms in this generation and the fathers, they have access to information, and they're smart. And, you know, we hear people say, oh, those anti-vaxxers, and they're Googling, you know. And I have to kind of laugh because it's like, oh, okay, so John Hopkins Medical University is not reputable. The CDC is not reputable. The FDA is not reputable. Where do you think these people are getting their information?
Well, yeah, it's not hard.
You know, it's not the cartoon section from the newspaper. They're going to the source, and they're reading it, and they're saying, wait a minute, something's not right here.
Well, in today's information age, I think that holds true with a lot of things. I mean, we now have access to information that once was like for only the doctors and only the researchers. And I think they're having a hard time accepting the fact that people are out there doing their own research and finding out things that I don't think they really want us to know.
How dare they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right, we've got to take one more quick break. We'll be right back. We're speaking with Terry York on the topic of vaccines. You can find the information we've been chatting about and referencing on the website, wethepeopleradio.us. Part of the song where it says, think it over. That would be fitting in this particular instance. Think it over.
And that was a great song. I remember the Supreme.
Yeah, exactly. So think it over.
Stop. In the name of love, and that is really true about vaccines.
God, so what are we... So in... There's got to be... I shouldn't assume, but I'm assuming. There are more states than California that have mandated vaccines?
Well, every state in the country has certain vaccines that they mandate for children for school. But they also have religious and personal belief exemptions, with the exception of two, Mississippi and I think it's West Virginia. I'd have to look on my chart.
Well, now California, you can't use that in California now, can you?
Right, yeah. California has just lost its personal belief and religious exemption to vaccinations, and the state has usurped a parent's rights to make medical decisions for their children in violation of their personal beliefs and their religious beliefs. And this has really crossed the line. And everybody better wake up, because they're not going to stop with vaccines and they're not going to stop with children.
Yeah, because it's coming for grown-ups now.
Absolutely.
I wonder if I said I was a Satanist, if I could get out of it, they'd probably leave me alone then.
It doesn't matter
what faith you claim. You can claim any faith. You can claim that you're an atheist. It doesn't matter. Your beliefs are irrelevant in the state of California when it comes to vaccines. If you have kids in California, they will either be vaccinated according to what the state of California demands, or they will not be allowed in the public and private schools. And that's a violation of the state constitution, guaranteeing a free and appropriate education for every child.
Are they going to mandate that the illegal immigrant children that come into our state or come into our school systems, that they're vaccinated as well, or do they get a bye?
Well, if they enroll in school, they'll have to comply. That's okay with the state. They don't mind that, because those children typically are not going to have a private health care provider or be in the system. So they want to get these kids in the system, because then they can control them. One of the things that they can do is they can administer all the vaccines that the state requires through the county health clinic in conjunction with the county health clinic. They can even just hold shot clinics at the schools and get all these kids caught up. Because when the schools report their vaccine status, they receive federal funding from the Title IV funds. So the schools are very motivated to have high vaccine rates, because they generate income.
Terry, can we force you to be our captive over the top of the hour break just for a little bit? Because we've got like two more things we want to ask you.
Sure, I can hang in there with you.
All right, thank you very much. All right, so we'll have more. And if you're getting cut off on this hour, join us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and the archive will be up.